Not much.
Happy Friday.
Yeah. Man, that feels like Saturday.
Dude, you've been Tuesday. Wide open.
You're telling me. This is supposed to be the off season.
Break the glass. Let's get into this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Here he comes, folks, for the win. Chase Holland from Success, Mississippi. Welcome to Off the Track.
Is this the wrong podcast?
Well, now you see why I didn't want to break this.
Okay. My bad. This has got that funky beat.
Yeah. So before we get this thing completely started, I'm just going to take over.
Go ahead.
Because I didn't get to do it in my All-Tech podcast. And I got Amber Bronson to sign this rig right here. And I don't care. I mean, Kyle Bronson's never done anything bad to me or good for that matter either. But I'm an Amber Bronson
from what
fan.
I heard. Yeah. She's a TikToker. She's quite entertaining.
She's relatable.
Yeah, she's entertaining for sure.
Yeah.
She's got no filter, and she ain't afraid to tell you that. And it's pretty funny, some of her TikTok stuff. I know not everybody's into TikTok. TikTok may be gone soon. I don't believe it, but
we'll see. Just fixing to start TikToking too.
Was you? Yeah, right. Anyway.
It's a shame.
Yeah. So let's dive off into this. Enough about that. I think you're done buying cars anyway.
I am, seriously.
You probably got them for sale because I can see the panic, and that's what I was talking about. There's a lot of activity going on in this shop.
And I'm looking at this table, and as I calculate sitting here.
You need this money right
This
now.
Right here would pay for my entire tire bill at Volusia.
I don't know
East
about
Bay.
That.
Not East Bay. I'm telling you. That. I promise you. What I paid for them, at least.
Okay.
Now, what I'll get out of them, probably not.
Yeah.
But anyways, can't beat the memories or the fun that you had collecting.
That's right. So along the lines of that, Chase, you've been doing a lot of buying and selling.
We have.
A lot of ordering, a lot of shipping and receiving, and a lot of talking on the phone and texting and messaging. So let's run down that first. Obviously, you're planning on going to Volusia. We've never been to Volusia.
Right.
We were going to go last year. You just talked about this in the video. You sat down with a notepad and a paper, a pen, and you calculated. You said, if it's going to cost me this much to run one night, we're going to multiply it times however many nights, and you had a number that scared us all away from
it. Do you want me to tell you? Because I remember the number. Yeah.
Because that's part of what this podcast is about.
$25,000 to go run Speed Weeks. Professionally, that's going down there with three of everything. All
I think
the tires
I almost
you need.
Passed out just now. And what's bad about that? We know this stuff's expensive. We spend a lot of money on racing, but I think it's the idea that it's so much racing in a short amount of time that it makes all that money right here. You know, and that's if you don't tear nothing up. That's to get there.
Yeah,
but that's going to give you spare parts, tires, fuel. That's going to give you everything you need, but it's going to cost that much money to go.
And at the end of it, like mainly your fuel and your tires are the only consumable items that won't carry over. But the rest of the season, like if you're fortunate and you don't tear anything up, now those parts go all season and you don't have to purchase anything else. So yeah, you're spending that up front, but as long as you have a good weeks, you'd be all right. Tires and fuel.
It's not my place to put this guy's business out there, but I will say Brian Foy that we bought the toter from years ago, he told me that he went to Speed Weeks and he was racing a car and he had Spencer Hughes in one of his cars, modifieds, and he had really good stuff, but he went. So obviously, if you're telling me it was 25 to get you there, it probably wasn't quite 50 because those parts are interchangeable between his two cars, and whatever. But it probably was a good 35, 40 grand to get him there. And then they broke engines. They wrecked cars. It was, I don't remember the total tally. I thought it was in the 70s. And Yeah, he said, I don't think he travels through Florida anymore after that. It made him sick.
He hasn't raced that I know of.
Yeah, it did put
since.
Him out of business. It really did. He went to something else. And that's part of why we were able to buy a stacker, because he had, yeah.
But, you know, just briefly touching on that, though, look at Spencer Hughes. Spencer Hughes drove for him. Spencer Hughes, a year, maybe 2 years prior to that year that was bad, he won his first Gator.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And with Jason Hughes. I remember that. Yeah. I remember
ended
that
up
race.
Getting Jason Hughes, you know,
heck of a race.
It showcased who Spencer was as a driver. Yep. And I'm not saying that's because if it wasn't for Spencer going to Volusia, he'd be right where he's at today, because he'd have made it somehow or another. But that certainly helped.
Yeah, definitely.
Being in that set
didn't
of eyes.
Hurt him.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing, is the exposure that you get from an event like that, because there's nothing else to watch. Turn on Flow Racing. What you going to watch on in February racing wise?
So, all right. So let's bundle this up. This is what this podcast is about. There's, I think, more people than not don't understand. And I'm not picking on anybody. You know, this is just a way. And I'm not trying to talk to certain people. This is an overview of everything. And this is hopefully it explains things a little bit to where people go, oh, that's why they do what they do. And if you don't get it, you never will get it, and that's fine. It's all good. But recently, Jonathan Joyner did an interview, and y'all know who Jonathan Joyner is with Hunt the Front. He did an interview with Dirt Tracker, and I'm a big fan of Dirt Tracker, big fan of Hunt the Front. I don't watch every single video they put out. I maybe catch 5% of their videos, if that, and he can relate. You know, he even told a story about, you know, he edits, and the last thing he wants to do is watch racing videos. And because Dirt Tracker asked him, you know, who he watched, you know, like, and he's like, man, I don't watch, you know, I try to turn it off. And I can relate to that. But he did mention that me and him had had a conversation, and we did. Me and Jonathan and Joseph talked at Alltech. One night, nobody was around. It was just us, and we sat around and had a real good conversation. It's good to me to talk to people that can relate to exactly what, you know, we're going through and dealing with. And there's a lot of things, you know, to start with, this is a business.
Yeah,
they're running a business. We're different than 95% of the people we're racing against, because they are either just hobby racing. And look, I'm not sitting here telling you that at the end of the year, we're trying to make $1 million profit, but for us to keep doing this, we do have to at least break even for this to keep going. And cause if you start getting in the red, where does the money come from in a business? And I'm just talking, this is business. So Jonathan Joyner explained it in a way that at the end of the night, they need to be profitable, and that's what we're shooting for. And that means we need to be, you know, when the video goes up and the merch sales come in and we get start money or whatever we get at the end of all of it, we need to try to, our ultimate goal here in this business is to make a profit. And the other guys, they're either hobby racers that,
and that's just not a shot or being disrespectful towards it. That's just everybody's in it for a different
cause. I'm going to say 60% of the people could fall in that category. And this is just my words, and it's my opinion. You don't have to like it or agree with it. And probably the other percentage are owned race teams. And they are the race team that it don't matter how they perform. It kind of matters because
it doesn't.
Well, when the contract comes due, they're going to be looking at your results from the previous year. So that's where it matters. But at the end of a night, it don't matter if they made the show or passed 40 cars to get into a show none of that matters, because they made a salary. All the stuff's paid for, their crew's paid for. You're out there racing. I've seen you get your envelope and turn around and hand it off to your help, you know, and that's no lie. You're racing to pay bills. And it's it creates a different way of thinking in a race team. Because I've been that hobby guy that got off of work on Friday and said, you know what? I think I'm going to race that car tomorrow. And it's still dirty from last Saturday, but I just decided that I'm going to race it, and we go wash it and, you know, really don't do anything to it. Air the tires up and go race it. You're not that guy. You're trying to put together a car to go win a show and put on the show and try to make money.
Right.
So I don't know, man. We've been doing this for almost 5 years now as far as the YouTube stuff and everything. I've been racing with you since you was five. And these last 5 years, I have poured, your mom has poured, your sisters have poured. We poured a lot into it, along with a lot of other people. And I told your mom the other day, you know, I got aggravated. As most of y'all know, I was just irritated. I think I was more tired than anything. After the Dome and All Tech and all the deal, I was wore down. And I told your mom, I said, you know, we write off with our business, just like, you know, in business, you can either advertise your business, or you can, at the end of the year, you can pay taxes to the government. I think any business would rather use money to advertise and write it off, and that's what all the names are. It's nothing that I've come up with. This has been going on since the beginning of racing. We advertise on race cars. So with our business, and I'm only talking about ours, I told Adrian, I said, we could take the money that we spend on your race program per year and hand it to you, and you sell everything you got, you could go to work, and then you would be rich in no time.
Oh, yeah.
Because you would be working a job plus getting a whole nother salary that we would just give to you.
And I wouldn't be blowing it.
Absolutely.
Sending it right Absolutely. Out as soon as it touched my hands.
And I asked her, I said, so, you know, because this is my business sense coming in. Because, you know, I do own a couple businesses that are profitable, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this. I'm not poor mouth. I'm just trying to break it all down here. Why are we doing this? You know, why are we working so hard? Because I know you work hard.
Right.
But your sister works her butt off. Your mother works her butt off. I work my butt off all for this thing right here. And I said, why are we doing this? You know, I could use my time to grow my other two businesses that make money and actually make more money. But I'm just, we 5 years we've been chipping at it. And we watched it grow, and I think the thing that's got me the most aggravated is I feel like YouTube has us by the neck. I think they're holding on to us because they control who sees our videos. They control how many views we get. They control how much money we make. So, and they are the ones that keep our time, so to speak, and write our checks. And we have no say in none of it. So as hard as we work, we still get what we've been getting. And I think they got their thumb on us, but that's neither here nor there. That's why I was talking about doing something different, and I don't know what yet, but my wheels are turning because I'm a businessman, and if something's not working, I start moving around and adjusting things.
Solution.
Yeah, and this is a little different because this is your ball game. No doubt we got a lot of skin in the game, but at the end of the day, before I did anything, you would be the ultimate decision maker. You know, what are we going to do? And like I said, I don't know what we're going to do, but I threw some ideas to Jonathan Joyner because I feel like he's very sharp. And like I said, one of the few people that are, you know, in this ball game with us.
That'll be straightforward with you.
And it would have information. Yeah. So, yeah, it was pretty cool to bounce some stuff off of him and hear yeah or no or, hey, that would work. And, you know, who knows? And we may get together with them on something. You know, that was brought up. But it's down the pipeline. I calm down. I'm good. But definitely not complaining. I want to be clear. We've been blessed beyond measure. Yeah, when I look back at where we started 5 years ago, you know, Chase and I made a video, and it's going to come out this year. And, man.
It's crazy.
I watched it last night. I'm going to get emotional. And it's nothing. To some people, it'd be like, oh, that's it. But, dude, to see, he told me about a guy that made a video, hello to me 5 years from now. And I was like, that's a cool idea. And this was 5 years ago. Chase is like, we ought to do this because who knows where we're going to be in 5 years. So me and him made a video and
scheduled it for 5 years later.
Yeah. And it comes out in October. And like I told Chase this morning, when we made that video, I had no idea that some of us wouldn't still be here, you know, that my dad would be gone. And I wish we would have included him, but I didn't know. But anyway, I don't mean to get off on that, but it's I'm just up in my feelings and, dude, overwhelmed. That's why I want to be clear that I'm not belly aching about what we don't have. I'm just trying to explain why we do what we do the way we do it. And that leads me into the Crate Late model. That was a true blessing. When we got that call, and still, I'm still excited about it, but when we got that call, that we were so excited and just overwhelmed with how can this even happen, you know? And it happened, and it worked out, and we I think, did really good with that car. And we're not fans of crate racing, you know, and I know people bash us about, oh, why you do, because y'all talk about it. Look, we're just talking. Obviously, we had some good times with it, no doubt. But anybody in our area will tell you that's usually not the premier race of the night. You know, they race, but it's not always a good race. It's a lot of follow the leader. We saw some follow the leader, but we saw some really good racing, too.
And got to take part in some really close racing.
That was great, and we were very thankful for that. So, you know, don't hang us for – you know, what we say one time, you know, I mean, just give us a little grace. But when we get into the Crate Late model deal, we were so excited about it that I think we kind of let our guard down. And if we would have really thought about it, we might would have did things a little different.
100%.
And, you know, Jason bought the car, Jason bought the engine. We brought on sponsors that furnished certain parts and, you know, things like that to bring it all together. And there was CHR items involved with the car, and there was Nices Motorsport items, and we were able to put a car together. And I feel like really did a great job competing with some of the best in the area.
I think,
no doubt.
And I think that's not really, there was never really a problem, but I think that was the part of it, the reason that it was like, you know, we're in it, we're doing it, because we didn't expect to have the success that we had immediately. I knew we were going to have a good piece. I mean, Jimmy Mars insured us that, and, you know, we knew we were going to have a really good piece, but how quickly would we catch on to it? How well would we be able to perform down here? Because this is supposed to be the hotbed for crate racing.
And it
know?
Is.
So when you look at it from that aspect, like, we're going to race the USMTS guys of Crate Late models, you know?
Yeah.
And how are we going to stack up to that? So at that point, it never really – it was – a hobby. You know, we're running a mod program as a business, and this thing was to get our feet wet and to, you know, be a hobby, you know, a release and a something different. And man, it almost immediately it went from us wrecking the first night to winning our first race in the same month.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the highlight for me and the turning point where I was like, wow, you know, one, we go off to Georgia and win our first race, which is another hotbed of drivers. And we went to Swainsboro and we won that race with it. And it gave you confidence. And then we came home, and I think everybody was probably like, yeah, you know, they got lucky. Maybe there wasn't a lot of cars. And there were comments on the video. Yeah, go somewhere where there's a field of cars. Well, we go that next race and show up, and it's two series, Crate Late Racing series, Mississippi versus Louisiana, and they're all there, the best in both states, in the southern state. And we beat them the first night, and everybody's like, wow, he got lucky.
I'm going to tell you, I felt like I wasn't a hater, because I'm like, Yeah, yeah. We're the stuff. We did it. Yeah. But secretly, I'm like, man.
I wanted to go home that second night. I was like, let's leave it alone because we won. And if we don't go, then we can't.
We weren't. We were just going to run our mod. Yeah. And I forget. Their timing
stuff went out on them. And a few things happened. And we agreed that if we're not on at least the first two rows of a heat race, then we're loading up. Focusing on the mod, and we ended up, this was the next night, we ended up running the heat. I think you won it.
Yeah.
Then we won the feature. You know, the unfortunate thing happened to Corey Neal Jr. He grabbed a skidder tire, and we went on to win the race, which you was putting some pressure on him and stuff. So just an awesome, you know, it went from, hey, they got lucky, to wow, what happened? Who is he, and where? How did he pick this up so quick? And it was cool, and that set the tone for a really good year.
No doubt.
But anyway, you know, obviously y'all know the background on all that, but and it's, I'm trying to be careful here because, like I said, I don't want to sound ungrateful. I don't want to sound like we're complaining.
Or being disrespectful towards who got us.
Absolutely.
Where we're at.
You know, Jason Nices, we have an excellent relationship with him. However, I do feel like Chase probably didn't communicate enough and good enough with Jason. Because, and I get it, you know, it's hard to just constantly call somebody and say, hey, I need this. Hey, I need this. And I'm sure Jason's probably like, dang, every time this dude calls, because that's kind of how it ended up being. Yeah. But what he don't know is there was a lot of phone calls where you was ordering stuff out of your
pocket. A lot of phone calls that weren't made because I just felt so guilty to ask a man that has put me in a race car that I never would have had the opportunity to drive otherwise.
Yeah.
It just made me feel guilty to ask him for anything, right. You know. So
which in turn put us, you know, Chase got a percentage to drive the car, where when he run his modified, he gets 100% of what the car wins. So this percentage to drive versus 100%, then when you win $1,000, you get $1,000, and over here you get a percentage. Well, the percentage didn't even pay the entry fees for him, his crew, and the car when he got his cut. So then you add in, you know, the parts that he ordered during the week to keep out of his sponsor's pocket, and, you know, all the things that he was putting in. It costs a lot more money to run the Crate Late model.
He did pay the entry fees per weekend of racing.
Did he?
So the car was entered, but the thing was my crew. I just needed to clean that up.
Sorry. I meant pit passes is what I should have said.
Right. Yeah. Pit passes, you know, feeding and housing my guys and traveling road.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No.
I just need to make sure that's covered.
And that's part of it. I want to be sure that it doesn't look like we're just smashing down on Jason, because Jason's a fantastic guy, and I'm very thankful and grateful for everything. And Jason's on board with going forward with her mod and everything. And I'm just trying to explain this whole, you know, everybody's like in shock that we're getting rid of the crate car. And this is not the only reason. I mean, we hit it at a prime time. There was a series, like a monthly series, that picked up down here. There was that one in Louisiana that's not really that far. Everybody was geared up and excited, and it was really great. Well, now both of those series are gone. They're struggling to get car counts, which we know that could pick back up. But, I mean, it's just there's a lot of reasons why it's better for you to take off with this UMP and go where you know there's going to be 20 cars a night, and you're racing against some sure enough competition.
And it's televised. Televised.
Yeah.
The exposure. But going back, and then somebody might say, well, why don't you tour with the Crate Late model? Why don't you go touring racing with the Crate Late model?
Well, I think we just explained that.
It's super expensive to do.
Yeah.
And the other element of it is there's some changes being made to their rule packages and stuff that make it to where our car, it's
going to cost a lot more money.
It's going to cost a lot more
to get up to par to do that. Not to mention, we're back to in a series with those things, you're lucky if you picking up $1,000 per night.
Right.
You're lucky. You're fortunate if you come away with a thousand. And when you're only getting a percentage of that, and it like when we went to Sabine that night, your generator went out, your air conditioner went out, like broke all the way. You had to replace the air condition. You spent like I remember about $1,700 on your generator, three tires on your toter. Like, yeah. We were like, oh my goodness. And then one of the tires they couldn't get off, so it cost you all kinds of money to get new studs, and man, what a mess. But all of that, and you get a percentage of what the car wins. And again, not belly aching, but at the end of all of this, the investment Mr. Jason made on the car, he's getting back. You know, we called Jimmy Mars and we said, hey, what's this car worth? And he said, well, y'all got it for a good price. It's worth what you paid for it. Because you kept the maintenance up, you performed well. If I was going to sell it,
yeah,
I would sell it for exactly what you paid for it, because it's worth every bit of it. So Jason gets his money back on his car, most of his money back on his engine, and, you know, again, not complaining, but at the end of the day, when you're looking at it from a business standpoint, we're sitting here with the oil that we burned and the tires that we burned and the fuel that we burned and all the cost of maintaining, because Chase pays guys to work on the car all week with him and get everything ready. I mean,
and I'm just going to be that guy that steps in on top of that, though. Mr. Jason did pay for several items, from tires to fuel.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that.
Did he pay for all of it? 100%.
He did not.
Okay.
He did not.
That's,
no, I'm just trying to. I do agree. I know what you spent and what I spent, but I just am trying to make sure that there's no like,
I understand. You know, and I agree with that, but I'm also going to tell you that that's the part that your mom and I said was your fault for not communicating.
It was.
And I know you kept a notebook and I know you got all of it, but Jason don't want to sit and go, oh, well, crap, he did pay for, you know, $500 drum of fuel, and oh, he did it again right here. And, you know, he don't want to pick through that. He's just like, because it's costing him money too. Because I will say, Jason was paying to freshen shocks up, Jason was paying to put valve springs in. I think he paid one time and you paid one time. And
when we decided to go points racing, is when it really got rough, because it was middle of summer. Yep. You know, the toter was having problems.
That was my fault, because I even told you, I said, Chase, I'll help. I'll pay. I don't want to ask Jason for every single penny, so I'll pay. And I volunteered for it, and I'm a man of my word. But, son, I'm going to tell you, when that green flag, that checkered fell on that last race.
Thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
Man, what? Yeah. So, man, it was fun all the way to the end.
It was
so exciting at Alltech. When Jason come and he was like, I ain't ready for the season end yet. And I said, I don't think Chase is either. And I mean, we was under caution we was like in 12th place and we needed to finish top 10. And he's like, y'all need anything? And we're like, no, man. Like, we were so pumped up, and you made it in. And then the next race, I think that was the D main going to the C. And then, man, what a bunch of memories and a great time. And Jason was there the first big races we won at that we were talking about earlier. He got to experience that.
And I will say that was one of the most positive things about Jason that I don't know. I haven't experienced any other car owners or things like that, but he was very positive all the way from the beginning to the end. There was never like a, I expect you to finish blah, 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 or I expect you to do. Like, if anything, it's not that he underestimated me, but he shot low on goals and stuff to kind of give that comfort zone to where there wasn't pressure. You need to go out here and you need to win by a straightaway and a half, and you need to lap all the way up to second.
Never,
it was never like
never
that.
Like, man, dude, look, me and Jason texted a good bit, and it was, man, a lot of him thanking us for giving him the opportunity to be a small part of what we're doing. And I'm like, man, we could never thank you enough for being such a huge part. You know, it's just like Ted and Shannon. I mean, same way with Ted and Shannon. Man, we would never be where we are today without, you know, Ted and Shannon and Jason Nisus and Eddie, and you know, there's so many people, and I got a list of sponsors to go through here in a minute. I think I got them all. I hope I do, and I'm gonna go through everyone. But anyway, again, the reason that the Crate Late model sold, we just need to focus on the UMP. Those are both CHR owned cars. Ted and Shannon are furnishing the power plants for them. And
we've got a lot of great product sponsors that are supplying other products so that it's not nearly as bad. And real quick, I know you've got not an itinerary, but an outline. No,
I got left are sponsors, and that's important, but go ahead.
Well, the biggest thing that I just want to say is without the Crate Late model, my driving style would not have made it to where it's at, you know, my experience level and stuff like that. So that's a huge plus of it. And I am going to miss it, but there's a fine line of crate racing, because the problem with the Crate Late model racing is we were equal. Yeah. And that's a problem, and the best part of it is like you're equal, so I've got to find an edge, you know. So it teaches you to get the most out of everything, but what it also teaches you is you and I are equal.
Yeah.
So I got to figure out how to beat you down there, whether I've got to lean on you, touch you, cut you off,
get in the gas before you,
whatever takes. I've got to take advantage of you before we get to turn one, because we're equal.
Yeah.
A lot of times we're on the same gear. Everybody's on the exact same thing. Yeah. So it's so important, just that millisecond sooner or later, whatever it takes.
Yep.
So, and that's helped us leaps and bounds in our mod program. But also, with that being said, the racing is exhausting, because you have to be somebody that you're not. I don't want to have to run over you to outrun you.
No.
I mean, I know it seems that way at times, because I've ran over my fair share of people, especially crate racing.
It made you aggressive, for sure.
You know, I had to. It's one of those things. If I didn't do it to you, you was going to do it to me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's street fighting. And and I think it's good at times, but I think that there's another element to it that can be draining on a negative level. So we did our fair share of it, and I won't say we won't ever crate race again, because if I do get an opportunity to drive for somebody at a big event, I'll certainly take the opportunity. But you know, as for us housing it, we need to do what makes a profit,
right?
What gets close to making a profit.
Yeah. And definitely didn't want the car, even if we were going to go on through and run it or whatever, we don't want this car just sitting in here. That's no good for a race car to just sit and you know, for however long, months and months and months, it's just no good. So, and it's along the lines of driving for people. I know, and I don't know if you want me to say, but I know you already got an offer to drive early this year. Are we talking about?
Yeah, yeah. So that is a good thing to talk about, because there's a lot of people, man, why are you leaving late models? Why this? Why that? You had so many opportunities. Why are you doing this? I plan to leave home, and not permanently. I'm not permanently moving away, but I'm chasing a dream and chasing a goal of being really good in the mods at least one more season. But within that, it's taken me having to leave home. And Uncle Blaze, you know, we went and stayed at his shop late this past season, and had a really good time. We learned a lot. I don't think we taught Blaze anything except what not to do, but we had a really good time. And we learned a lot and made a lot of memories. And at the end of it, Blaze let me drive his super late model at Why Not, which was a great time.
Yeah.
I've never driven a super before, and that was really neat. But Blaze has mentioned a couple times of letting me behind the wheel of one of his cars next year.
He's told me that too.
So
yeah,
and he's been a man of his word.
Yeah.
You know, I don't foresee him not letting that happen. So at some point, we will make a debut in super late model racing.
Yeah.
But in order for me to do that, I can't be here. I can't be in crate racing country. I got to go up where mods and supers are at, you know?
That's right.
So that's the other thing that I'm super excited about. I don't know when, or, you know, there's no date or time frame or anything like
that. Well, that's great. And I am excited about that, but that's not even the ride I was talking about.
Oh.
I'm talking about at the IMCA ride.
Oh, my bad. My bad.
But again, I mean, that, yeah. It just goes to show that, y'all, listen, some of this stuff, it's better for us that he shows up and just gets in someone's car and, you know, especially good equipment like these two rides that we're talking about. And it gives us an opportunity to do something different. It's good for our content and it's good for him and it's just good all the way around. It's good for y'all to watch.
Right.
And so he got an offer. You know, we started the year out last year, I guess, in Votto. And then when we got home, we went to North Florida for Peyton Taylor's series. What is it called?
Clash on the Coast.
Clash on the Coast. IMCA cars. Something we don't run down here. You know, not there are a few in the area, but not that much. But it's a really good event. Brings down some really heavy hitters in the IMCA division. And Chase got an offer, you know, to drive Sean Pierce's. It's an IRP this year. We was in a Longhorn last year and struggled with it a lot until that last night.
There was a lot of stuff that just went on that weekend. Yeah. It was just kind of tough from racing to everything else in between.
Yeah.
And I was hoping for redemption. I didn't think Sean would ever let me back in any of this stuff.
Yeah, because it ended with stuff tore up I've never seen broke before, which, you know, it's part of racing. You're just going to have that.
Yeah.
And Sean offered you a seat in this thing, and he went and picked it up yesterday. I saw some pictures on Facebook, brand new Jason Ingles IRP car. It ought to be exciting. You know, Ryan Fowler's got a sister car to it, and he's done very well with it, you know, since the Clash on the Coast last year. So I'm excited to see where that goes and excited that Sean offered you that opportunity. I'm excited to see what Blaze has in store and whoever else, you know, we're not anchoring down to any certain thing, because at any point, if somebody out there makes a phone call, we're going to be available.
Yeah.
He's going to be available. And that's just where we're at this year. You know, it's just one of them things that, you know, we're just sitting there by the phone, just, man, you know.
And speaking of that, that's the other thing. Like I had a guy tell me, you know, we were looking at you and then you got that ride. And I'm like, man, I'm super thankful for this ride. And I wouldn't have been ready for that ride.
Exactly.
Without this experience. So I'm thankful for the way that things have taken place.
But
what I will say is, like, and I'm not trying to say I'm the best or I'm this or I'm that, but I'm willing to get behind the wheel of just about anything. Besides something with the wing on it.
Ready or not, you ready to come out.
Yeah, I'll get in it.
Well,
so.
I think we can both agree that if you would have got offered that super ride that guy was talking about, you weren't ready.
I wasn't.
And you would have tripped, stumbled, fell, whatever.
It'd have put me behind.
It would have. It certainly would have. And I truly believe that your crate late model experience and the modified, you know, what you're doing in it, I truly believe that's just stepping you up and getting you there. And when the timing's right, it's going to happen. I believe that. I think these people believe that, or they wouldn't be sticking around.
Right.
And I'm very thankful for that. And that's all I got on it. You want anything else, or can I run down this sponsor list?
Because before you get started on thanking people, and I know you're the one reading off the list, but I'm equally as grateful for every single one of them. But Mr. Jason Nices, I got to say again, and I know we've said it multiple times, but Mr. Jason did something for me. And I've got tons of other sponsors and people that I'm very fortunate and thankful for. But Mr. Jason gave me an opportunity that I never would have had otherwise. So I want to thank Mr. Jason Nices for everything that he did for us. And, I hope that he continues on with CHR.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm like you, Chase. I hope this didn't come off as disrespectful towards him, because it was not intended. This is just an explanation from our point of view. So when I was watching the video back and I was looking at me and you out here, you know, man, we were lucky if we had 3-4 sponsors. And those were just like, you know, friends that,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's unreal. So when I really look at sponsors, you know, I'm just gonna say the biggest name first that's not necessarily the biggest sponsor. Summit Racing. When I think about that, I never would have imagined that Summit Racing. And you know, Summit has caused us problems already because, you know, even I'll just go ahead and share this. Even with Jason, someone apparently insinuated to Jason that we got Summit and Summit bought us a new modified. And I was like, no, man, absolutely not. I said, we sold two modifieds to buy a new one new modified. So definitely they are sponsoring us, but nowhere near on that level. It's more, I would call it more a product sponsor, right, you know, to get her foot in the door. But with that being said, people that truly have been behind us since early days is definitely Ted and Shannon with Industrial Dock and Door.
100%.
I can never thank them enough. I mean, they are family to me, to this family. It's amazing how this journey's been. And this is a lot of these people right here. It's unreal. I never could have imagined that we could connect with people from all across the country and just their family. I truly love all of y'all, and I care about everybody here. And I'm just going to run down this list, and I'm not going to hang up on everyone because we'll be here all night. But like I said, Ted and Shannon with Industrial Dock and Door, Eddie Smith and his entire family with West Trucking.
He sucks.
You had to say it.
Man, I love my uncle.
He'll get on your butt when he sees you over that one.
Yeah.
Chad Weirs and his entire crew with Weirs Machine and Racing Parts, Salt Pepper Oak. And this is in no particular order. I sat down and I was like, man. And here we go. So MB Customs, Bryn Transmissions, Mad Jack has been just phenomenal to us.
If you don't run Bryn's, you're missing out, and their customer support with Mr. Jack is
unreal.
Untouched.
Unreal. Scott and Carrie with Bulletproof. Don't you say a word about my buddy Scott, old Pawpaw Scott.
Pawpaw.
Yeah, the Bulletproof tees, man, just keeping us on point all the time, and I'm so grateful for them. Mr. Ralph Wiles with Wiles Drive Shafts, QA1. Bassett Wheels, that's another great connection. Mr. Ronnie Rogers and Miss Gay with Wall to Wall. Willie with Willie's Carburetors. Mr. Larry Martin. Man, I need to call Mr. Larry. I miss Mr. Larry. I miss talking to him. And that, man, that's just me. I talk to so many people, and I tell, after a weekend, I feel like I'm just repeating myself, just on repeat, blah, 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 blah. And I can't remember what I told this one or didn't tell that one. And Mr. Larry needs to be one back in my loop because I just miss talking to him. And Speed Secrets, great family, man. It was awesome seeing y'all at the MAG earlier this year and getting to spend time with y'all. And Toronto's Seafood, local place to us, Big Owl Oil. I mean, what in the world, dude? Who would have thought that a company would come in and do what they did for us and continue to do? And we got some big things coming up with Big Owl that we'll get into. Apex Fab and Equipment, Mr. Michael Broom, thank you so much for everything you do for us. Performance Bodies, the whole crew at Performance Bodies, we ran into them at the Dome, and just a super good time.
It's always good seeing them, man. They've done a lot for us, especially welcoming us into their shop whenever we were up there. Man, they're just good people. Anytime you can order something from Performance, please do.
Absolutely. PPM, another great parts company, and Hunter and all the guys at PPM, man, just super awesome people. And this has just been such a blessing, like I said, to meet and make relationships with all these people. And I'm very fortunate, or you're very fortunate, we all are, to have them. Mr. BB, God is awesome. This is a guy I've told y'all about. He that's all he wanted on our car, was for our car to say God is awesome. And he mails us a check every month, usually has a little letter, and, man, it's the most awesome thing. Super good. I hadn't gotten to meet him yet. He did come down. Some of her girls at the store met him, but I hadn't met him yet. So
I hate that we hadn't.
I know. Which leads me to Mr. Nick Bauer with Bauer Farms. So Mr. Nick and Miss Lorna is going to come down and visit us soon. So I'm looking forward to that, and we're going to do some podcasts and stuff with Mr. Nick. But Bauer Farm has been a major sponsor for the last, I'm going to say, 2 years now.
Yeah.
Just good people. Just good people. I consider family.
He's family.
Yeah. Mr. Marty Hagwood. Can't say enough about Mr. Marty. He's a local from Why Not he's been really great to my family, and I greatly appreciate it. Andrew Becker, anytime we're up in the Illinois area, I guess it's Illinois.
It's mainly Quincy.
I've seen him at Quincy
the most.
And dadgummit, where we got our deck height was too high. Where was that?
Callaway.
That was first place I met him at.
Really?
Yep. Sure was. So Andrew Becker, Mr. Shane Sign. He is just another kind of like God is awesome. He just has a little logo that he wanted us to put on the car. We appreciate it. Keith Knowles, we all know Mr. Keith is the greatest. Anytime we're over in his area, he's on the pit crew, and he knows that. He just shows up to work. And Mr. Keith's awesome. Been really good to us. He's the one that actually bought us our first spring smasher and has done a lot for our team. And he'll just call me with advice. He called me about my gravel out here the other day with some info on that. All the Patreon members, this is just random all over the place, but everybody that's on Patreon that you know helps and supports, we greatly appreciate it. If it wasn't for you guys, we definitely wouldn't be able to get up and down the road. I don't know how we would do it. We would be out right here, out of business. So thank y'all very much. The Ridiculous Speed Shop, Jason, he's been with us since the beginning. CMD Shocks, that's Chris Mars and Mark and all the guys up there.
Let them build you a set of digs, dude.
Yeah, that's right. AT21, is that the whole name?
AT21 Race Products, us with bracing and spoilers. Man, yes. You're not going to beat the quality.
Really great stuff. Went just hung her right in the fence and got back to the trailer, and most of it was still there, so at the dome. So Boone's Kitchen, Bath, and Patio, that's Sean and Haley Pierce and Boone, and they're that's who Chase is going to drive the IMCA car. Ryan Fowler with Next Era Graphics. You know, we had Jeremy Item with Lookout Graphics for years, and Jeremy was great. And, Jeremy took a little side job or took on a job and started doing the graphics on the side. And we're so last minute, man, it's kind of worked out. You know, Ryan can deal with us a little better because we're so we're all over the place, hard to deal with. Yeah. But anyway, ProLine, obviously everything we wash, ProLine. We've sent a lot of people to ProLine, and Jay has been really good about checking in with anybody that purchased products, and he's been really good with keeping up with us. And Jay's just been great, man. Just a really good guy. Really great company and an amazing product, and that's the truth. Back on the Rack Upscale Resale, they are a huge sponsor of this operation.
To be one of the biggest sponsors, they sure had a smaller sticker. I don't even think y'all were on sticker. I was fixing to say you didn't even get any advertisement at the dome.
Hyperco Springs, Swift Springs. Drury Designs, like I said, this is in no particular order. This was just me like, man, wow, oh my goodness. Drury Designs, Mike Drury, as y'all know, that's Chase's right-hand man. He's like a son to me. He is unreal. Mike's a great kid to start with. He's caught on to everything we do here really quickly, and he does an excellent job, but man, his design skills – And I'm just starting to realize what kind of perfectionist he is on his.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
He is like on top of it.
There's
nothing
that aggravates me more than when I think I've got this perfect piece of sheet metal or perfect whatever, and he's like,
"Yeah,
what about that rivet right there? What about this?" Yeah. And it's like,
I love him. Headliners Plus, Uncle Brian Hagwood, Bandit CrossFit, C&M Specialties. We was just talking about Chris and Shane earlier, and how it was that we met them, you know.
I don't miss USMTS. I miss them.
And that's what you told me earlier. Man, I wish we could go back up there just to see Chris and Shane. And I was like, yeah. But, man, awesome. Just thank y'all so much. Mr. Kenny and Miss Lisa Harris. I know it's Harris Woodworking, but it's also...
Flipping Pallets with Smokey.
Yeah, Flipping Pallets with Smokey. They got a Facebook group. Squires Formal Wear. Ashley Loren, thank you so much, man. Just unreal what she does for us. Nice. Sublimited, which is who does all the fire suits and everything. Miss Laura Pender, always on point, always on time. You look sharp. I got to tell you, buddy, you look sharp. And it's definitely a professional fire suit every time we get it. And it holds up good, and they look really good.
They do a really good job, like you said, not only at producing a great product, but meeting deadlines and stuff like that.
And they're very affordable when it comes down to it. They've got an excellent price point. House of Tux, which that's the other family business. Vortec Pest Control, he's probably been with us the longest as far as he was go-kart racing with us back in the day. Yeah. And Jones Dirt and YouTube. That is what I have. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. So if you just fire off a name, you'll be a hero. And I promise you, if I didn't get you on here, I do apologize, because you definitely helped us out. If you're one that I missed on here, and I do apologize.
You missed my Uncle Rock, and I'm gonna let you know it.
Well, yeah, Uncle Rock. I mean, that's. You know, he don't fall in the category as under my sponsor list, but he's family, and man, what he does for this team. I tell you all the time, Chase, you're blessed to be surrounded by, and I'm not trying to, you know, pat my own back. I'm just telling you, and people tell you, you have a heck of a support system surrounding you, Rock being one of them, you know, that you can bounce stuff off of and you can be yourself in front of, and know that he's got you back just like we do, you know, and that's a really good thing.
No doubt.
So did you think of anybody else besides Rock? You going to try to get me in trouble with Rock?
Man, I can't really think of anybody off the top of my head.
Well, then I did mean, good.
You hit everybody on the, on that I'm looking at, but man, I don't know if you mentioned Dirt Defender, but Dirt Defender has done a lot for us.
I did not. Yep. Thank you very much.
But anybody, whether you've just simply viewed our video, you know, that helps. The people that are on our Patreon that pay for our content, like, thank you so much. And then anybody, just from the person that spent pennies on merchandise to the people that purchase items, consumables for the race car, thank you.
Yep.
So I think that's it.
Yeah, I think we've welled on long enough, and like I said, man, I hope it comes across the way we meant it, and we'll see you in Florida.
In Florida, Volusia. Yeah. So let's talk about the dates of that. January 21st through the 25th, we're going to race at Ocala, and then let me look at the date so that I get this right. January 31st through February 9th, I believe, is going to be Volusia.
Okay.
So I think it's totaled up to like 14 nights of racing. Maybe it's less than that, maybe more than that, but in that general area. So if you can come out, we'd love to see you guys there. Obviously, we're still making YouTube videos. Yeah. We hadn't quit YouTube yet.
No, not yet.
And then we're just doing everything the same way that we always have been. We'll have some content out for y'all. And, again, we hope to see y'all at Speed Weeks.
Yeah, and one other thing that I'm going to throw in, like I said earlier, Jonathan Joyner did an interview with Dirt Tracker. Go check out Dirt Tracker. Look for the Hunt to Front Jonathan Joyner interview. Listen to that. Man, a lot of good information. If we didn't come across the right way, maybe he breaks it down better, because I was like, yes, yes, when I'm listening to what he's saying, because, like, I can relate to what all he was saying. And one of the things, man, that I really hit home with me personally was the guy asked him how long it takes him to do a video. And he said to do a 20 to 30 minute video, it takes him about 6 hours. And I was like, right on. And I'm going to leave it at that. So when people say, man, y'all should do this, y'all should do that, I'm putting in 5 or 6 hours per video of editing. And I'm driving us home from wherever we're going and all that stuff. So, man, that's why I got burnt out. But, man, when I really look at this big, long list of all these people to thank, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's worth every bit of it. So what else am I going to do with my time?
It sounds like you said you was going to build a pond next year while I'm out on the road.
Building a pond and you feel that air conditioning, I'm building a hot rod in here too, in the air conditioning.
As long as you use parts from Summit and QA1.
That's what I plan on doing.
Well, good.
All right.
Another piece of content, another 6 hours for you to edit.
That's right.
All right. Well, that'll conclude this one. Thank you again for tuning in. We will see y'all in the next YouTube video, podcast, all kinds of stuff. So let us know your opinions, your thoughts on our stuff. Did this make sense? Does it not make sense? You know, just give us some feedback on your take of what's going on here.
Right on.